I want you to be committed. I mean, the first is to understand why you want to learn to go for a walk every day. Then I'm going to tell you, I promise I will tell you how to enjoy it, look forward to it, and reap the benefits. But a couple more fun facts about walking. A very good study was done by Harvard, 14,000 Harvard graduates. They showed that Harvard graduates that walked 20 to 25 miles per week had one half the risk of mortality, all-cause mortality. I mean, that includes car wreck, being shot by a jealous husband, any cause of death, cancer, any cause of death was cut in half for those people who walk 20 to 25 miles a week. Now, if you're 50 pounds or more overweight, you're still thinking that's impossible. Just hang with me. I'm going to tell you how to make it possible. The point is that when people walk that much, it's not just about burning calories. There's an actual change in behavior. When you walk that many miles, you get increased serotonin, you get dopamine, you get adrenaline, endorphins, increased cortisol, thyroid, growth hormone. It's equivalent to taking seven major hormones that we know about. Who knows what all goes on that we don't know about? There is a change in neurotransmitters in your brain that is phenomenal and probably nowhere close to being understood at this point. When I was a high school student running track, people debated about whether there was such thing as a runner's high. I knew there was a runner's high because I used to work part-time, scalping tickets, smoked a little pot a couple of times and said, "You guys can keep this crap. I do better out running 10 miles a day than you're getting off of your pot." Now, I'm not asking you to run 10 miles a day, but what I'm telling is when you do miles on the street, you change neurotransmitters in your brain. You start to want to eat different things. You start to want to do different things. And your whole life changes. Now, there are plenty of people who do a lot of miles and still have unhealthy behaviors. I'm not saying it's a cure-all for all of mankind's illness. But I am telling you that when you do that sort of mileage, your health and your behavior changes in phenomenally good ways. I never preached to anybody about stopping smoking. My theory is, and I've seen it work over and over again, we never quit a habit. We exchange one for another. Freud talked about it, and it's true. You exchange one habit for another. I've never seen anybody who walks 3 miles a day who continues to smoke. And it's not just because they don't want to undo the good that they just invested. They start to not want to smoke. They don't want the cigarettes when they're walking 3 miles a day. They don't taste well to them. They don't want them. And it just goes away without trying. So when you work to put this habit into your life, you will see other unhealthy habits go away without trying. It will just push them out of your life. You'll decrease your cholesterol. You'll make yourself feel better. What other reason would you want to walk? Let's talk sex specific. For a female, if you're just trying to look beautiful, the most beautiful muscles of a female, if you think about it, most of them are from the waist down. I see overweight women who want their waist to go down and they want their, quote, flabby arms to go down. But that improves much of the fat storages on the inside of the abdominal musculature and goes away dramatically with weight loss. But the muscles from the waist down become very firm and beautiful with doing miles on the street. What about the male? Well, talk about sex for a minute. Sex aerobically is equivalent to walking upstairs. The best lovers are aerobically fit. How many minutes can you walk upstairs? If you're exhausted and short of breath after walking upstairs for about 5 minutes, then vigorous sex is going to make you exhausted and short of breath after 5 to 10 minutes. If you can go walk for an hour and feel good, then you're going to be healthier, but you're also going to be a more relaxed and fun lover. Erectile dysfunction is so associated with cardiovascular disease that some people advocate if you have erectile dysfunction, you should automatically be checked for cardiovascular disease. Erection is a product of circulation. Of course, there's hormonal influences, but those are improved with walking as well. The best thing you can do to preserve your sex life as a male is to keep circulation to your penis. And the way you do that is become aerobically fit. I have many patients who are in their 70s that have sex, if they want, on a daily basis. But these are not the men that as young men were smokers and drinkers. These were the men that as young men were joggers and walkers back when it wasn't cool. And hardly anybody did it back in the 60s. So if you want to stay fit, you're going to also do things that are going to keep you healthy, intelligent, and sexually active into your old age. One other fun fact. What is the number one risk factor for heart disease? You hear cholesterol preached about a lot on the television ads. Cholesterol is not the number one risk factor for heart disease. It's not diabetes. It's not high blood pressure. Okay, the number one risk factor for heart disease, this was a huge study that came out of Texas, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association 10 years ago. We've known this for a long time, but you won't ever see a television ad about it because there's no drug to sell. Did you know that only 1/3 of the people who have a heart attack have high cholesterol? And only 1/3 of the people with high cholesterol have a heart attack. The number one risk factor we can't do much about. The number one risk factor for heart disease is a previous heart attack. But the number two risk factor for heart disease, straight from the Journal of American Medical Association, is being aerobically unfit, having a low aerobic capacity, which is measured by a VO2 max or anaerobic threshold. That's the machine when you see these Olympic athletes being checked by running on a treadmill and they're breathing through a mask, which looks like an oxygen mask. That's measuring the amount of oxygen they're able to burn per kilogram of body weight. That's a way to actually get a number to see how aerobically fit you are. That was there a huge study with thousands of people was done in Texas, followed to see who had heart attacks and who didn't. Number one risk factor, aerobically unfit. So if you have diabetes and you're aerobically fit, you have less risk of heart attack than your next door neighbor who does not have diabetes, who sits on the couch and is not aerobically fit. That's probably enough. I don't want to wear you out about why.